Mr. Dahl's prior acts may point in a particular direction, suggesting a possible path of future criminal behavior, she said. However, he has no history of violent crimes, and this court can't foresee what Mr. Dahl might do in months or years to come. At any rate, we aren't allowed to try people for crimes they have yet to commit. Your Honor, Logan said, his voice tight from holding back the need to shout. Violent criminals are made over time. Mr. Dahl's record is inadmissible, Carrie said. If people could have been put away for crimes they had yet to commit, Chris Logan would have been led away in handcuffs. The fury in his eyes was murderous. Kenny Scott barely contained himself from leaping out of his chair and doing a victory dance. Carrie stared at him, and he slouched back down and swallowed the joy of his victory. He wouldn't think it was such a good thing after the news hit the press, Carrie thought. People generally demonstrated less loathing for public defenders than headline defense attorneys. They were, after all, civil servants toiling away for low wages, devoting their lives to helping the unfortunate. But as soon as her ruling was made public, Kenny Scott would suddenly become an enemy of the state. Defending the indigent was one thing, getting an accused murderer off was quite another. Your Honor, Scott said, ready to strike while the iron was hot, in view of your ruling, I don't see that the prosecution has enough evidence to support the indictment. Logan came out of his chair. Eyes popping, Scott looked at the man looming over him. I move that the charges be dismissed, he said, talking as fast as he could, trying to get all the words out of his mouth before Logan could grab him by the throat and crush his larynx. Motion denied, Carrie said, with a calm that belied her inner tension. Sit down, Mr. Logan, or I'll have you removed. Logan glared at her, defiant. He didn't sit, but he moved away from Kenny Scott and went over by the wall, his hands jammed at his waist, nostrils flaring as he tried to gather himself. But, Your Honor, Scott argued, the state has no direct evidence linking my client to the crimes, no fingerprints on the murder weapons.
He wiped them clean, Logan growled.
No blood evidence on his clothes.
So he ditched the clothes.
No DNA evidence.
He used a condom.
Not so much as a hair.
This guy doesn't have any, Logan snapped. He shaves his body clean so he won't leave any hairs behind. What does that tell you?
He does it for hygiene reasons, Scott said. The guy's a transient. He doesn't want to pick up lice. Logan made a rude sound and rolled his eyes dramatically. Carrie turned to him. Well, Mr. Logan, what do you have on Mr. Dahl?
I'm supposed to lay out my entire case in front of him? Logan said, incredulous.
Do you have a case to lay out? He's got conjecture, supposition, and coincidence, Scott said.
I've got a grand jury indictment, Logan said.
And the crackerjack box it came in? It's good to know you have so much respect for our criminal justice system, Mr. Scott, Carrie said, without humor. Scott stammered, tripping backward, trying to cover his mistake. Carrie held up a hand to forestall the attempt. She wished the earth would open and swallow Kenny Scott and Chris Logan, and this entire nightmare case. The indictment stands, she said. A jury can decide if the state has a case strong enough to convict your client, Mr. Scott. She gave Logan a look she knew he recognized from their years together on the same side of the bar. And if you don't, Mr. Logan, God help you. She rose behind her desk and nodded toward the door. Gentlemen, Kenny Scott bounced up from his seat. But, Your Honor, shouldn't we revisit the idea of bail?
No.
But my client should consider himself damned lucky to have a guarded building between himself and the public, she said. Considering the climate of the community, bail would not be in your client's best interests. Quit while you're ahead, Mr. Scott. Scott bobbed and nodded. Yes, ma'am. Don't call me ma'am. No, I'm sorry, Your Honor. I meant no disrespect. Please leave. Yes, ma'am. Of course. He held up his hands as if to concede his stupidity, then fumbled to grab his briefcase and nearly tripped himself on his way out the door. Logan remained for a moment, but didn't say a word. He didn't need to. Carrie knew exactly what was going through his mind.
Then he huffed a sigh and walked out like a man with a purpose, the bottle of scotch in his bottom right-hand desk drawer. "Have one for me," she muttered.